محمد وآل محمد. اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 25 of Surah Al-Haqqah, chapter 69. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشَمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوْتَ كِتَابِيَهْ. But as for him who is given his book in his left hand, he will say, I wished I had not been given my book at all. Now, you remember this is the continuation of the description of the Day of Judgment when the trumpet is blown. The one whose book is given to his right hand or coming from the right side, that is from Aliyin, will rejoice and would like everyone to see. As for the one whose book is given from the left hand, coming from Sijjin, the book of Acts comes from Sijjin for him. Now here, he would say, فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَهْ. I wished I had not been given my book. You know, all these human feelings that we have in this world, wishing, loving, hating, embarrassment, shame, aspiration, hope, fear, all of these we have in the next world as well. So they don't go away. Our humanity, our human quality will remain the same. However, not exactly the same, they become much bigger, much more sensitive. Everything that we have in terms of our senses, in terms of our feelings, in terms of pleasure, pain, we feel more and more of it when we move higher and higher towards the realm of God. Now for this person, the feeling of shame when he thinks, because this book is yourself, is ourselves. This book is like a mirror. Not like a mirror, it's our own selves actually. We see ourselves in this book. And the person who receives it like that, the embarrassment and shame which comes upon him would drive him to say that I wished without having been given this book, I would have gone to hell directly. Ya laytani lam uta kitabi. I wish I was not given this book. I wish before this book given to me, I would have been taken to hell. Usually people who are convicted for certain crimes or whatever, they want a judgment. They want a court. They want a procedure. Now this person actually says, I wish we had no procedure whatsoever. I wish I would have gone directly to hell. And this is why Fakhruddin Razi mentions here that he becomes so embarrassed, so ashamed of himself and what he has done, that he would prefer going to hell without standing a trial on that day. And then he says that this shows that spiritual pain, spiritual punishment is more painful, is more fearful than the physical pain and physical punishment. This person is now experiencing a sort of spiritual pain and punishment because of the shame that he is experiencing of himself. And therefore, that is even, he prefers hell. That's why I remember we have in some traditions that certain people on the Day of Judgment, they say, take us to the angels, take us to hell sooner. We cannot stand this position, this shame, this embarrassment which we have brought upon ourselves. And of course, the feelings are quite sharp there, and this sense of shame is very strong. So he says, Ya laytani lam uta kitabiyah. I wish, and this kitab, this book is actually, as we said before, it sums up his personality, his identity, his life. So when it's given to him, he wishes that he would have not been given that. You know, usually it's the case that we do not hate ourselves. But sometimes we do certain things that we feel that we hate ourselves. Maybe you have experienced that too. I mean, all of us would experience sometimes. We do certain embarrassing things that we hate ourselves. Why did I do that? Now, imagine that whole your life is like that. And then the whole comes back to you all at once in that day. So, يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَهْ وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَهْ. I wish I didn't know what is my account, what my account is. Again, you see, every person, when they want to be convicted of some crime, they want to know what is their account. What have they done? They want to defend themselves. This person says, I wish I didn't know about it at all. Ya laytaha kanatil qadiyah. Qadi means something which finishes something as qadra. فَوَكَذَهُ مُوسَى فَقَرَى عَلَيْهِ. About Musa hitting that man. Musa hit him and finished him. That means he died. So he says, I wish that it was a decisive end to this. Now, what was a decisive end? يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتَ الْقَارِيَةِ. Some say that this ha returns to the death that he experienced in this world. He says that I wish the death which came upon me previously when I died in the world, I wish it would have finished me completely. I wished I would not have come back to life. And you know, everyone would like life, would prefer life over death. Sometimes we think that if we die, we are very afraid of coming back to life again, to be resurrected. But that is funny. We should actually love to come back to life. We should love to come back to the blessings that Allah is going to us in our new life. But if we are so evil, then of course we don't wish to come back. If you are afraid of resurrection, if you are afraid of the next stage of our life, it's because, first of all, we are ignorant of what's there for us, what's ahead of us. We are ignorant. We don't know what sort of life Allah has stored for us in that stage of life. And secondly, because we think that we may not be able to fulfill the requirements of a good life there. Now, otherwise, of course, we always prefer life over death. This man is not alive, is now alive. But he says, I wish the death that I experienced was the end of it, would not have come back to life. This is one meaning of it. The other meaning is that this situation, this embarrassment, this shame is so great, and the pain is so intolerable that I wished it would have finished me. Ya layta, I wish this situation which I am in would be my death. There's a very interesting sentence mentioned by Qatada, one of the Tabi'un, those who came after the companions of the Prophet. He says that sharrum min al-maut ma yutlabu lahu al-maut. Do you know what is worse than death? A situation for which you desire death. You wish death. It means it's more painful than death. Death is actually relief for it. When you are in a very, very terrible situation, of course, sometimes we imagine we are in a terrible situation. That's a different issue. But when a person is really in a terrible situation and wishes death, it means that that situation is worse than death. And this situation now, where this man is standing in, is actually worse than death. And he wishes to die rather than standing in this position. Now, then, of course, this is not something that probably every person in this situation would say. It is explaining their feelings, remembering the past, remembering the world, now considering their present situation. And these are the things which a person would say in that situation. Not that actually the person has this would or will definitely say these things. Ma aghna anni maliyah. My wealth did not avail me. Halaka anni sultaniya. My authority has departed from me. Now this ma aghna anni maliyah could be read in two ways, in a question form and in a negative form. Ma aghna anni maliyah. My wealth did not avail me. This is one way, negative form. Or ma aghna anni maliya. How my wealth, what did my wealth do for me? This is when he actually realizes. So this is the position of a man, of a person, a wealthy person. So of course, a poor person wouldn't go there and say ma aghna anni maliya. This position Allah is describing is a position of wealthy, powerful, a man of authority, a man of control, who has gone there, has lost wealth. Of course, wealth is no more working there for him, and has lost authority because he has no authority over anyone, even over himself. So what he says is that my wealth did not avail me here, and my authority has departed, my power that I thought I have. What actually is the verse, these two verses is saying, are saying, is that the people in this world rely very much on their money and on their power. Even the poor people sometimes, you see, even if you are poor, we always rely on that little thing that we have, and always rely on our own ability, our own power, rather than relying on God, rather relying on the Creator, the Sustainer. Now, when we go there, we see that all these go away. That independence that we imagined we have, it would go away. That money on which we relied would go away. So there's no difference between poor and rich here. However, the following verses would tell us that this is about very rich people who rely on their power, rely on their wealth. And this is their situation. When they go there, the money, of course, is not with them. They have spent it all. They haven't sent forth anything of it for themselves to help them there in that situation. Of course, the power on that day belongs to Allah. لمن الملك اليوم لله الواحد القهار. The whole kingdom belongs to God. And he says that none of these are actually helping me. My power, my wealth has all gone. Now, what is the situation of this person? A person who relied in this world on wealth, relied in this world on power, and other things that Allah explains. Now, these verses are very, very important to realize where does the punishment of hell come from? Because usually we think that, first of all, punishment of hell is terrible, of course. It's not something bearable in this stage of life. I will mention a couple of traditions later on. This stage of life is so small, so rudimentary for that sort of punishment or that sort of pleasure. Never we can experience in this world a pleasure which is experienced in paradise or a pain which is experienced in hell, because we are very limited in this. We're sure, very in our rudimentary sort of stage of development. We don't have that problem. Just like if, for example, you want to give hard food to a baby, you kill them. A baby can only drink milk. You cannot give them hard food. You cannot feed people here in this world with the food of paradise. It's just like feeding baby with hard food. It's not possible. That stage is a different stage. Now, these hard things which are mentioned, hardly ever someone can actually qualify to be punished by them. Because we think that despite that great mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why people are punished like this? No, not ordinary people who commit sin here and there are going to be punished like this. No. Allah explains who these people are. Now, after mentioning the situation of this person, now remember, for the one whose book comes from the left hand, from the Sajjin, he would say, I wished my book was not given to me. I wished this would have ended my life, or I wished my life would have been ended by death that I experienced once. And he would say, my wealth is now gone, I have no power. مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ. Now, what Allah says to him, these were actually his confessions, his situation. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ. The angels will be told by God, seize him and fetter him. Fetter him, put him in chain, in fetters, you know, the ghul or fetter, were those things in which they put on the neck and shoulder of the prisoner, and they put their hands inside so that they couldn't move. Instead of handcuff, it was a heavy thing, they couldn't move. Now, why these people should be fettered? Because they are dangerous. As I said, we find huge power when we go there, huge power. Our qualities would exponentially increase. So these people are very dangerous. They have to be put in fetters. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا. Then put him into great fire. Jahim means great fire. Of course, here hell here is described as great fire. Put him in the great fire. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوا. صَلُّوا means اتَّصِلُوهُ. Connect him to that. Open a way for him towards that place, because he cannot live anywhere except in that place. And the evil people cannot live anywhere but in that place, cannot be contained except in that place. So take him, seize him, put fetters on him, take him to hell. ثم في سلسلة ذرعها سبعون ذراعا فاسلكوا. Then in a chain whose length is 70 cubits. Cubit is from here to here. Now 70 cubit is a long chain, about 40 meters. Bind him. Then in a chain whose length is 70 cubit, bind him. Usually 70 is a number used for plenty. And that's why many exegetes say that it doesn't actually mean 70 cubits. It means something which has no end, a chain which has no end. This 70 cubits of chain, is it for every individual who goes to hell like him? Or the whole people of hell are put in this long chain? Many exegetes have said that, yes, this is a long chain in which all people of hell are bound together in it. Because previously they had put him in fetter, okay? Now put him in this long chain. What is this chain? When you think about, I think I mentioned this before, when you think about hell and paradise, you have to give way to your imagination to imagine. You have to think out of the box. Not like a chain that we put people in chain here. And therefore, some ages have mentioned that this chain is not a chain of metal. It's a chain of their qualities. They are bound by arrogance, by jealousy, by greed, by enmity, by rancor. These are all actually the rings of a chain which bound us here. In this world, we are bound in these chains. In this world, we don't realize. You are bound in this world. You see, if I have greed or if I'm jealous, I am always limited. I cannot look beyond. I cannot have higher outlook to the world. Why? Because I always look at other people. I want what they have. I'm greedy. I'm jealous. I contain myself. It's as if as I'm chaining myself. Now, these things would not go away. Whatever we have in our heart, when we die, we have them with us. That's why we are told again and again, purify yourself, purify yourself. In this world, it's easy to purify. When you go to the next world, it's difficult because these chains would go around you and wouldn't leave you. It's very difficult to actually get rid of these chains. Even in this world, it's difficult. But when you take with you these chains, these shackles which are with you to the next world, they become even more difficult to get rid of. And this is the situation of a person who has this سَلَسَلَةٍ ذَرْءُهَا سَبْءُونَ ذَرَاءً فَاسْلُكُوهُ, means this person has brought with him all sorts of evil, all sorts of evil, 70 cubits of evil he has brought with himself and is bound in it, tied in it. What can we do? Let him be tied in this 70 cubits of chains. One of the exegetes says that, what I said, as I said, this Ali Akbar al-Qurashi mentions that, yes, there is one possibility that we may say these are just chains of metal. But another possibility is that these are qualities like shirk, like kufr, like disobedience. As I said, like all sorts of human evil which bounds us here, we will be chained by them there. When we want to enter paradise, you see, paradise is the place of purity. No evil can pass through the gates of paradise. No evil. And that's why, after all those purifications that we will have when we pass through certain stages in the Day of Judgment, on the threshold of gates of paradise, still there remains some of these things, enmity, greed, in our hearts. And if you go to paradise with these things, paradise is abode of peace. How is peace possible when you have greed? How is peace possible when you have jealousy? How is peace possible when you have rancor against your brother or sister? It's not possible. So Allah says, when they come to that very threshold of the gates of paradise, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ, at that very end, they cannot do it anymore. It's my job now. I take whatever remains there. I wash them. And actually, one of the meanings of this, drinking from the ponds of the prophets. You know, every prophet has a pond just before paradise. And their followers would enter and they give them drink from that pond, purifying drink. And for the prophet, they call it Kawthar, isn't it? It's Kawthar. And there are cups, as we have in Hadith, there are cups round that Kawthar, as many as the number of the stars. And Ali ibn Abi Talib helps the Prophet giving this drink to those who pass the Sirat and come there by the pond, by that pond of the Prophet. What is the reason of this, every Prophet having this drink given to his people before they can enter paradise? Because that is the last purification. Then you enter paradise with peace. There's no grudge. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. Every evil we take from their hearts, then they enter. And that's why God gives you great power. There's no, you don't need chains. People of hell have great power, but they need chains. They need shackles. They have to be contained. But when you go in paradise, whatever you want. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ, whatever they wish is there. And of course, there are things that their imagination cannot reach. And I give them. You see, whatever you can imagine in paradise, you can have. But what if there are certain things that you cannot imagine? Allah says, We give them. لهم ما يشاءون فيها ولدينا مزيد. We have more than their imagination, and we give them more than their imagination. We give them. So you may say, in paradise, I have whatever I want. So why I need God to have blessing? Of course, all those things are blessings. But sometimes God suddenly gives you something that you never could have imagined, and you are elated by that very much. So, but of course, this poor person is bound with these chains. As I said, either this is a chain which bounds all people of hell together, or for every individual, we don't know. But there's a hadith from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. لو أن حلقة واحدة من السلسلة التي طولها سبعون ذراعا وضعت على الدنيا لذابت الدنيا من حرها. Now, the hadith is telling us that don't compare this stage of life with that stage of life. Absolutely different. If one link, one ring from that chain is put on this world, the whole world, the earth, the mountains, everything would melt down. To tell us that don't compare these two stages of life together. That is a completely different stage of life. And as I said, the pain exponentially is enlarged, and the pleasure is exponentially enlarged too. So it's a different plane. And this hadith is mentioned in many, many traditions, in different words. Kana Muawiyah sahibu silsila. Muawiyah was one of the people who will be chained like this. Who will be chained like this. قال الله عز وجل في سلسلة ذروها وكان فرعون هذه الأمة. Muawiyah was the Pharaoh of this Ummah. We have no reservation about Muawiyah. It's not something even in Ziyarat Ashura. We say Allahumma al-an Aba Sufyan wa Muawiyah. Now, some people say these were companions of the Prophet. How? Under duress they actually submitted to the Prophet. They fought to the Prophet, against the Prophet, until the last breath. When the Mecca was conquered, they became Muslims. Okay, but they did not change. As I said, we have no reservation about Muawiyah, as our Imam had no reservations about Muawiyah, that he was the Pharaoh of this Ummah. He changed the whole system of rulership, this simple system of rulership, into kingdom. And then king, whoever came after him, was a king for himself. And they claimed kingdom, and then the whole kingdom would become hereditary, something which we never had experienced in Islam. So Muawiyah Sahib says, and there are other traditions which I do not want to mention here about him, but as I said, we have no reservation on Muawiyah. We do not accept from anyone saying that Muawiyah was a companion of the Prophet, so he should be respected. That's not true. Muawiyah was someone who was instrumental to place Yazid. He was a betrayer. He actually broke his treaty with Imam Hassan alayhi salam. One of the articles of the treaty, peace treaty between Muawiyah and Imam Hassan alayhi salam, was that he should not appoint anyone after himself as caliph. And he appointed his mischievous son Yazid, who was a very indulgent boy, as the caliph of the Prophet. Peace be upon you. You see what he did? And then that led to the martyrdom of Hussein alayhi salam. So how can we say that we have to respect Muawiyah? He fought against Ali ibn Abi Talib, the rightful caliph. And if any Muslim says that Muawiyah should be respected as a companion of the Prophet, we just call them very simpleton about the history. Anyhow, let's move on. Okay, why this person deserves such a painful punishment? As I said, not ordinary sinners will be given this treatment. as far as it is possible, Allah will forgive, will wash away sins from people, would make them to be purified, to be purged. But what this person has done, which deserves such a punishment, to be tied with such a chain that Imam As-Sadiq says is, if one ring of that chain is placed on this world, the whole world would melt down. What have they done? Now, verse number 33 and 34 explains, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمَسْكِينَ. Two together. Now, it's something very important. All the time the Quran puts these two together. He held no faith in God, the All Supreme. Azim means huge. Kabir also means huge. What Kabir is opposite of Saghir, small. Azim is opposite of Haqir, meager. Means Azim means everything compared to God is meager, is insignificant. This Azim. And you can imagine how Azim, how huge God is. Just imagine the expanse of His creation in time and in space. We talk about, for example, this universe having been created how many trillion years ago? We don't know. And how big is this universe? We don't know. We're just getting some information, for example, several billion light years we have with the next galaxy. Okay? But the universe is still expanding. It's still expanding. Just the expanse of His creation in time and in space. And this is only the physical creation. Now go higher, the spiritual creation. Yes, He is Azim. Everything compared to Him is insignificant. That's the meaning of Azim. He did not believe in All Supreme God, Allah. And not only that. Look, this is very important. This is a very important point brought up again and again in the Quran. Not only that, He did not urge the feeding of the needy. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. Two together. It means in Himself, He didn't have any good. He didn't have any knowledge. He was just like a sort of embassy running in this world. Didn't know about God or anything. Or even if he believed, many exists say here that La Yu'min means did not obey, did not submit. Some people believe in God, but they do not submit in God. They say, yes, we believe there's a creator. Okay, if there's a creator, if someone has made you, then doesn't that make you think that you may have some obligation towards them? Just we want to pass our life with pleasure, with ignorance. So sometimes people have faith in God. Many people in this country who claim to be Christians, but they don't go to church at all. They have faith in God, but they do not want to submit to Him. They just want to follow their own desires. So, La yu'minu billahi al-azim, one meaning is that he did not want to submit to God. But of course, the more general meaning is that he did not actually care to believe in God at all. You know, sometimes we say that we are atheists, okay? Why are we atheists? Because we don't care to think about the origin of this creation. Don't care. So what? A God is there or not is there? I mean, an atheist can never ever prove that there is no God. I mean, all the atheists, you go to them, they say, yeah, there is no proof, there is no evidence. But they say there is no evidence for him to be. Of course, they don't see the evidence is everywhere. But they don't care. Or some people are agnostics, they don't care at all about God. The one who made them. Maybe he had a purpose. Maybe he wants them to do something. So why do they don't care? Because they just want to pass time in leisure. So, but not believing in God in itself is not enough to take someone into this punishment. There's something else. He didn't have any good in himself. Inside his soul there was no good. But outside as well there was no good. He did not care about anyone. He only cared about himself. And the previous verse says, he had wealth, he has authority, he has power. He did not urge others to feed. Not only he did not feed himself, even he did not care to tell others to feed the needy. So, the two together. Now, if someone has faith in God, but doesn't care about people, or if someone has no faith in God, but cares about people, they wouldn't have this punishment. They may have other types of punishment, but this severe punishment, a punishment which, of course, is continuing. There are other things coming, okay? It's not only that chain and shackle. There are other things coming. This is only for those who have no good inside, no good outside. In other surah, I think it's Surah Muddathir, it says, "Kullu nafsin bima kasabat rahina." Every soul is hostage of what they have done. It's your action. Every soul is hostage of what they have done. Illa ashab al yamin, except the people of the right hand, because now they have been freed. You see, all of us are hostage of our actions. But when we go to judgment, when Allah judges between us, and when He rules that, okay, you go to paradise, we become free of our evil acts. Oh, free. That's the meaning of it. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين. And of course, مغربون, above them, that's. But if we fulfill the requirements of being from أصحاب اليمين, people of the right, those who receive their book from the right side, then they become free of their acts. Now, when they go to paradise, they see their friends in hell. And people of paradise can see hell, can see them, can talk to them. It's not places, you see. The whole idea, as I said, the whole idea of dimension, the whole idea of communication is different there. You may be in paradise and someone may be in hell, but you may be beside each other, talking to each other. How? It's a different world. It's absolutely a different world. Okay? Now, they say, well, we came to paradise. We were sinfuls. We had lots of sins. And we are forgiven. Why these people are not forgiven? What happened? How did they go to hell? Why didn't God forgive them too? So, fi jannat يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ الْمُجْرَمِينَ. They ask the criminals, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرَ. What made you to go to hell? How did you go there? I think I have mentioned this hadith before about the difference of opinion between Hassan al-Basri and Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. Once that man, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I think, that man came to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam very distraught, and Imam asked him what has happened. He said that I was listening to Hassan al-Basri. He was giving a speech, very, of course, touching lecture, and he was saying it is not amazing for the one who goes to hell, how they go to hell. It's amazing for the one who goes to paradise, how they go to paradise. And I'm very afraid. And Imam alayhi salam said, this is his view, but our view is this. It is not surprising for the one who goes to paradise why they go to paradise or how they go to paradise. It's amazing, surprising the one who goes to hell how they make it to go to hell. It's amazing. Now, here is the proof of it. In Surah Muddathir, they say, مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرَ. How come you are there? You were sinners, we were sinners as well. God forgave us. Why God, He did not forgive you? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرَ. Now, the answer is exactly the same. Of course, there are other things added to it. Here, only two things are mentioned. قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُوا مِنَ الْمُسَلِّينَ. First of all, we did not connect with God. مُسَلِّي here means someone who connects with God. We did not connect. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا نَخُذُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. We did not urge to feed the needy. وَلَا يَخُذُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ. The same thing. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. We were actually wasting our life with those who were wasting their lives. وَكُنَّا نُكَذِّبُ بِيَوْمِ الدِّينِ. And we did not believe that there will be a judgment day. فَلَيْسَ لَنَا الْيَوْمَ هَاهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. Almost the same thing. You see, these two, if you do not care about people, if you do not care about God, this is the punishment. This is the severest punishment. But if you care about people but not about God, or care about God, not about the people, then there will be other types of probably punishments which will come. So this very, very severe punishment, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّوهُ. Seize him, fetter him, take him to hell. ثُمَّ فِي سَلْسَلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاعًا فَاسْلُكُوهُ. Bound him, tie him in the chain of 70 cubits is for the most evil people, which they will go in. There's, I remember one hadith, which when this command goes to the angels, is issued to the angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, they go and seize this person. And he says, have mercy. He says to the angels, have mercy. And the angels say, the God who's the most merciful has no mercy on you. Our mercy is just a splash of his mercy. How can we have mercy upon you? See, if the most merciful would see that these persons cannot be retrieved, then of course nothing in this creation, the kindest angels, the kindest prophets, cannot help them, do not care to help them actually, because whatever they have of mercy comes from the mercy of Allah. Now there are other things and other this continuation for this punishment. What will happen to them, that inshallah we'll discuss it in our next session. We will be off for 2 weeks, because from next week we have Muharram sessions here. So next Friday and the following Friday we'll be off. We have Muharram programs here, and inshallah after 3 weeks, in 3 weeks time inshallah, we will continue with the tafsir. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allah. يا لطيف.